All right, y'all. Thanks for your patience on this. I binged The Secret Lives of Mormon Wives on Hulu, and it's time for me to talk about it. But I'm not going to sit here and give a recap. Who needs that? If you watched it, you're familiar with what happened, and I'm a little late on talking about the show. So instead, I want to focus on some standout, most shocking moments. And I'm not going to get into all of the history, but when I did a little bit of my research, it was very fascinating. So I encourage you to go ahead, listen to some podcasts that know more about Mom Talk, and just to find out a little bit more behind what we saw on this show. So at the queen bee of the series, and arguably the reason why the series even exists, is none other than Taylor Frankie Paul. So Taylor Frankie Paul, what the hell is this woman's ethnicity? Because she does not look Caucasian to me. We see her mom, we don't see her dad. She is pretty ambiguous to me. I would love to know what she is. I'm definitely not going to Google because I don't care. And she could be Caucasian, but to me, I just feel like she seems to have a little Latin flavor to her. But I'm from SoCal, so I think everybody is Hispanic. So anyways, what is her ethnicity? So we got Taylor Frankie Paul, and I'm going to go in order of who has the most followers to who has the least followers, because that is important information if we're going to talk about a show that is basically that exists because of social media, because of TikTok. Now, we haven't seen this before, a cast that's comprised of TikTok stars. What is going to happen if we lose TikTok? You know, we might lose TikTok in January, supposedly, and I think that there's no way that could happen, because I think the backlash would be so extreme. TikTok is the only way that millions of people in America make their money. So I would like to think that the government is not going to strip millions of people away from their livelihoods. So I'm interested to see what's going to happen with TikTok, because we're supposed to know something in like January/by April. Shit might be deleted, whatever. I don't know. So we got Taylor Frankie Paul. She has 4.1 million followers on TikTok, at least at the time that I researched this. And the article that I read was written, I think, within a week and a half ago. So 4.1 million followers on TikTok. 363,000 followers on Instagram. She has two kids with her ex-husband, and she welcomed her third child with her boyfriend, Dakota. And I think his name is Rain? Oh, man. Whatever his name is, or Ocean? I'm not so sure. Whatever Taylor's son's name is, I know another reality star has a kid by the same name. Next, we got Michaela Matthews. She has 2.4 million followers on TikTok, 230,000 followers on Instagram. I have no idea why Michaela has 2.4 million followers. I did not go to her page, but on the show, she kind of seemed like she has a stank attitude. So I have no idea why she has 2.4 million followers. No clue. So Michaela is married with three kids. Next, we have Whitney Levitt. Whitney has 2 million followers on TikTok and 250,000 followers on Instagram. She has two kids, and she is currently pregnant with her third kid, and I think that's a girl. So she has a girl and a boy, and I think she's pregnant with a girl. Next, we have Macy Neely. She has 1.3 million followers on TikTok and 116,000 followers on Instagram. She is married with a blended family of two kids. So she has a child and her husband has a child. Next, we have Jen Affleck clocking in at 1.1 million followers and 198,000 Instagram followers. Jen is married to Casey. Sorry, this is Casey. Wow. Jen is married to Zach Affleck, and the couple has two kids. Next, we got Demi Engman. I don't know how to say that, obviously. She has 306,000 followers on TikTok and 97,000 followers on Instagram. She is divorced and remarried. Her husband is 17 years older than she is, and they have a blended family with three kids. I can't remember how many kids Demi has, if she has one or two, but I think she has one and her husband had two. Who knows? Next, we got Jessie. Oh my gosh, her name is so hard to pronounce. Nagat e Kara, whatever that is. Jessie has 123.6 thousand followers on TikTok and 139. This says 139 followers. It must mean thousand, whatever, on Instagram. She is divorced and remarried. She has a blended family with three kids. Again, I don't know how many kids she. Oh, she said it on the show. She has two kids of her own, and her husband has one. Next, we got Layla. She has 26,400 followers on TikTok and 8,519 followers on Instagram. She's newly divorced and she has 10 kids. All right, so now you know Taylor is clocking 4 million followers on TikTok, all the way to Layla at 26,000. I'm sure those numbers have spiked since the show premiered, and I'm sure they will continue to spike as the seasons continue because this is the number one show on Hulu. Obviously, they're going to have a season two. So, everybody who's in the cast is lucking out because they're about to start to coming. They're about to make a lot more money. So, I have the 10 most shocking moments of season one, which was only 8 episodes, each episode around 40 minutes. I want more shows to have this format. I don't need 30 episodes, 24 episodes, 2016. Give us 8 or 10, bitch. Like, we have things to do, and don't make your shit, your episodes at least an hour. Like, we have things to do. This was perfect. This was very bingeable. And I just want to say up top, like, I am not going to focus on the white girl drama. And what I mean by that is pretty much everything that Whitney brought to the table was white girl drama. And then I heard that there was a big scandal because, it was controversial that I guess Michaela went somewhere else for her hair extensions instead of going to Jesse's salon. And there was a big, huge fight, and that didn't end up on the show. Thankfully, I don't care. I don't care about an argument about extensions. I don't care about all of the bullshit that Whitney was trying to bring to the table. That is very extremely boring when you take a tiny issue and you try to act like it's all this stressful, emotionally taxing, draining, overwhelming, destructive drama. It's like you need to get a hobby and it needs to not involve TikTok. Like, it's pathetic to me that these gr like those aren't real problems. The quote unquote problems and issues that Whitney was focusing on, those were not real problems. We saw genuine problems. We saw genuine abuse, like trauma. We saw really dysfunctional, unhealthy relationships and habits. And Whitney has her own slew of issues that I believe she needs to focus on instead of like the pettiness of just her feeling like she didn't get enough attention because she mentioned what happened with her husband, and then Taylor mentioned like a miscarriage situation. Like, it's very, very petty. And I will get into more of that later. But let's get into the top 10. All right, top 10 most shocking moments slash revelations, whatever, of season one. Clocking in at number 10 for me, I have Layla. Layla is black, 22 years old, divorced with two kids, and hasn't had an orgasm before. So, where do we begin? I did not know that Layla was black. Sorry. I'm running late. I would edit that out. Maybe it'll be edited out when I run it through my software, but I'm gonna keep going. I did not know that Layla was black. So that was a surprise to me. That was a surprise to me. I'm being genuine. I was like, ooh, when she said that. So that was a shocker for me. Also, the fact that she's 22 and hasn't had an orgasm before. I put this at number 10 because it's shocking, but obviously not that shocking. So here's the thing about the big O. As Layla said, the church teaches that you're supposed to be a virgin and then you're supposed to be super comfortable with sex after you get married. It's, ooh, I'm not gonna get into it. It's just crazy. It's crazy the amount of pressure that is put on, people to be these great lovers. Meanwhile, all they heard their whole lives is that sex is gross and dirty and wrong and sinful. So back to the big O. Now, at 22, she has two kids, and I believe that there are a lot of women who think that they cannot reach the big O. And I believe that that's because, for a lot of women at least, I believe that that's because there are several men out there who have a micro penis, and there are several men out there who ejaculate quickly, several men who don't have stamina. And so, if you're with somebody who doesn't have a penis, essentially, who comes very quickly, who doesn't have stamina, nobody would orgasm under those in that type of a situation. And so it breaks my heart how many women I think are walking around saying they don't orgasm when their partner's dick is 3 inches and he nuts within 2 minutes. Okay? So it's like, why are we not discussing that enough? Why do they have all these statistics about, all these percentages of women in hetero relationships who don't orgasm, and nobody's talking about like the men that these women are having sex with. When are we going to have that very important discussion, which is the deciding factor, I think, a lot of times. So I don't know anything about Layla's husband. He might be huge. He might have stamina. He might, I don't know anything about that. But what I do know is men have really been conditioned, and there's been a lot of progress within the past, I'd say, 15 years. But up until about 15 years ago, I think men and women, not just men, have been conditioned to kind of just think that sex, the pleasure from sex, is for the man, and that's shifted. But it's just a very layered issue, anybody in Layla's position, right? Where not only is she going into a marriage without that experience, but if she has a partner who is not making any attempt to get her there, and then maybe her lack of experience makes her think that's normal or makes her hesitate to speak up. Then it's you're gonna have someone who is married, pushed two children out, but hasn't had an orgasm before. And at the same time, like women can really can and should teach themselves too what they're into. They don't have to be reliant upon exploring and figuring that out with someone else. So that's why I put Layla in number 10. I put her at 10 because I was surprised she's black, and the fact that she has was married with two kids and hasn't had an orgasm before. There are many women like her, and I'm sure that there's so many audience members of the show who identify with her situation. And I guess on season two, I'm sure we will find out that she has been out here orgasming. Like, I don't think she's still, especially going on TV saying you have an orgasm, like, and she's a cute girl. There will be men who will make sure that she orgasms. All right, so number nine, I have Jessie shows everyone her pussy lips. So Jessie wanting the world to know that her labia was hanging down by like 2 inches, and that's why she needed this surgery. That is courageous. I am shocked. I know that she also said that because she knew she was going to fix it, but at the same time, like, you don't know what the results of your surgery will be, but you're still telling the world that your lips are hanging down and things are different. And the woman is 31 years old and she already had to get her vagina fixed. Okay, just to throw that out there, this whole Mormon lifestyle of like being a child and bringing children into the world, I'm not with that. And that's why this show is so fascinating to people like me who cringe at the idea of children giving birth and teenagers getting married and giving birth. And I don't know how old Jessie was. But anyways, so Jessie is super excited about the results of her labiaplasty. She actually, before she had it, she threw a party where she wanted people to draw their vaginas, which I think that was an idea from production. It made for entertaining TV, even though I really could have done without it. Like, I don't care about what you want to tell me your pussy looks like. Like, I'm never going to see it. I don't care. Anyway, so Jessie, she pulls down her shorts and she shows the girls what her vagina lips look like now. And it's like, you have to be really, really excited to be like, please look at my pussy lips, y'all, my bare pussy lips. And I heard Jessie on Two Chicks in the Office, her interview with them, and she said her husband watched and he was like, there were cameramen in the room. And I didn't even think about that as a viewer. But yeah, like Jessie just whooped her vagina out for everybody in the room to see, all the viewers to see. And I'm like, shout out to her. I would never do that. I'm way too cagey to be like, oh yeah, put your face there and inspect what the surgeon did. I also am not interested in any type of vaginal rejuvenation surgery. I haven't had kids, but that aside, even if I had 10 kids, I would never, under no circumstances. Like, no. I think I would need some type of a coma, you know, so that I could wake up and have zero pain, because the whole, like, the idea, it's just, my mind can't go there mentally, so it's not for me. Next at number eight, we got Macy. I'm like just straight up reading. At number eight, I have a woman messaged a tip on Macy's app or website. I think it's a website, saying that she slept with Dakota before she realized that Dakota was with Taylor. Okay, so I put that at number eight because me personally, I don't care. I cannot possibly care less. And I don't think it's a reason to dump your partner. So I don't care if Dakota had sex with someone very early on in his relationship. I don't think that's a deal breaker at all. Secondly, Taylor, she's the one who let him put a baby in her twice, okay? She had a miscarriage and went ahead and let him put a second baby in her immediately. So, does she really need to be running around having everybody's baby? I'm not saying she should stay with him, but I just don't believe if he F's someone early on, that that's a reason for her, sorry, for Taylor to break up with Dakota. I mean, Taylor says she would break up with him, but I think that's stupid, bitch. Stop being a baby mama, or currently, she was married before. It's just weird. It's so weird to me that Taylor is even pregnant by this man. But that aside, I don't care if Taylor fucks, or sorry, if Dakota fucks somebody else early on into the relationship. That's not exactly a fucking marriage. It's just not, I do not care. And I hate that I'm supposed to care as a viewer, because I don't. I don't trust Taylor's judgment with men. I don't, whether it's Dakota or somebody else, like, okay, so let's say she dumps him. Then what? A few months later, she gets pregnant by somebody else? Like, I don't like this storyline. I don't see why Macy is obsessed with finding out. Like, let it go. If he fucks someone else, good. Like, who is this whore, anyways, who's trying to break up this relationship when she knows that Taylor is pregnant? Like, get the fuck out of here. All right. Next, we got number 7. Whitney said that she's jealous of that Taylor was forgiven for the swinger. For the swinger scandal, but she was not forgiven for dancing in the NICU. I have not watched the video of Whitney dancing in the NICU. They showed a clip, and I'm like, it's one of those things where you have to see it to believe it, because it's like, I just, okay. But at the same time, I do feel that Whitney was very sheltered. She let us know that her mom gave her absolutely no sex education. It looks like she didn't receive sex education in school. I think she's sheltered. I think her self-awareness is pretty non-existent because she was so sheltered. And so I just think, I don't, it's kind of sad that social media, I guess when you're at Whitney's level and it's your livelihood, that the first thing you think of is making a video before waiting until your infant is not in the ICU or NICU. But, you know, I feel that Whitney was probably bashed for that enough. I don't know if I want to pile on to that, but Whitney being jealous of that is like, okay, swinging is consenting adults. That infant that may have been fighting for their life at some point by having, I guess, RSV, the respiratory virus, they didn't ask to be in your dumbass video while you're dancing like a clown. So yeah, we're going to forgive a woman who says that she was swinging, because a lot of people swing, and that, again, involves consenting adults. We all just feel like your concern should have been your child's health instead of dancing for likes. So, and the fact that you don't understand that is alarming. It's startling and sad. Next, at number 6, we have, When Connor tells Whitney about the Chippendales drama, including that Zach called Jen a terrible mother, Whitney says she doesn't know if Zach's threat of divorce is serious, but that she does not care. And she says that she made the right decision not to go to Vegas. So, how is Whitney friends with Jen and saying that she does not care if her friend Jen's husband divorces her? And she's saying this with a camera in her face. Again, no self-awareness. Whitney is very, very hated right now. And the fact that she probably has no idea why, it means that if Whitney comes back for season 2, which I really think she will, because she will want it to be her redemption arc. She might, who knows? But if Whitney returns, she's going to keep making blunder after blunder, because this is blatantly obvious to us viewers that you are not supposed to say that you don't care if your friend's husband divorces her, and over a really fucking stupid reason. So Whitney, honey, I feel bad for you, boo-boo, because we'll get to it later. But I kind of gasped it when I saw that. I just thought it was so mean. I can never say that about a friend of mine, that I don't care if their husband divorces them. Again, especially for a stupid reason. And with that friend being a mother of two very young kids, I would care. I couldn't say that I don't care. Next, at number five, we have Taylor being arrested for fighting with her boyfriend and baby daddy Dakota. So, what was very entertaining for me on the show was you have Taylor saying she's not going to drink, and then she said something like she's not really drinking, and then we see her arrest footage, which was really, really crazy. She was like crying hard. So Taylor said she's not going to drink. Then Taylor got drunk and was th allegedly throwing chairs at her baby daddy. And the neighbors called, like, F those neighbors. Like, you know what's funny? It's like things like this are why it's beneficial to live in the hood, because in the hood, you really think that somebody is going to call over a domestic dispute. They're like, nah, this is just a daily occurrence. Anyway, so Taylor says she's not going to drink. Then she gets so drunk, she gets violent. Taylor looks really short to me. Taylor looks like five, not really short. I'll say Taylor looks about 5'1" and Dakota looks about 6'3". Like, how the fuck are you arresting this little girl or this? Not little girl, but this short little woman, because her neighbors called, and I doubt Dakota was even bruised up. I can't remember. But anyway, she was arrested. So I put that at number five because that footage, it will stay with you. It's kind of crazy. It's kind of crazy how hard she was crying and all of that. And that's the thing. Like, she was drunk when she got in that fight, but when you're in situations like that, like, you sober the fuck up immediately. Like, what a mess. What a fucking mess. Crazy. Crazy. You be arresting little, short little girls, short little women because a neighbor called in. Like, what happened to them neighbors? I would have to confront any type of neighbor that called on me. You know, they would have to be paying my legal fees. All right, number four, we have Whitney being offered $20,000 to post a photo of herself holding a vibrator. Now, that's one of the most shocking moments to me because I didn't know that you could get paid $20,000 to hold a vibrator. Now, I know that these influencers, they're overpaid, that's well known. And this is why a lot of people are really stupid and they're like, they want to be influencers. And it's like, not only is that oversaturated, but like, good luck building a following today when these apps, especially something like Instagram, they will not even show your content to your own followers. But yeah, it was surprising to me. And I guess this was, if I'm not mistaken, Instagram. And so Winnie has 250,000 followers. So 20K for 250,000. Just think about the people who think about somebody who has a million. 80K? You're telling me you're gonna pay somebody 80K? 80K? Who has a million? Like, all of us have effed up who are not in the influencer game. Like, we have effed up. Okay. So yeah, I put that at number four because it was just interesting for me to see that people are really willing to throw their money, companies are willing to, I think, throw their money down the drain. Because I doubt Whitney holding a vibrator is gonna get you 20K plus in sales. But especially if she's advertising to a bunch of Mormon ass bitches who like have an orgasm with their husband, like, but you know. A lot of brands, I think, waste a lot of money on influencers. A lot. Next, we got number three. And I'm not saying obviously influencers can't move product, but I think there are a lot of misses with a lot of these companies. I feel like a lot of them are shooting in the dark and losing a lot of money. Next, at number three, we have that when there was a party at,
Shit.
I think it was Demi's house. It was Demi's house, or it's either Demi's house or Jen's house or something. But number three, I have Whitney giving Demi a gift of a box of fruity cereal. And Demi got upset. She stood up, walked away, and she said that Demi said that Whitney's gift ruined her intention for the night of women supporting women. And then Whitney was upset that Demi was upset, was mad at her. And Whitney said that she felt ambushed. Whitney gets mad that Demi's mad at her, saying she feels ambushed. Okay. So if you watch the show, we don't know what happened, but my guess is that Demi's old ass husband, who's 17 years her senior, he ate fruity cereal out of her orifice. So I'm under the impression that he ate fruity pebbles out of her vajayjay, and I don't understand any of it. Like, if that's what happened, I don't get it. I'm not here to kink shame. Just logistically, I don't get it. And I don't know what happened, but obviously it seems that Demi's husband ate fruity pebbles out of her glory hole. And I just don't see why Whitney would be trying to make fun of that, other than Whitney has a lot of demons and issues that she's dealing with and that she's not honest with herself about and honest with her friends about. If your friend's husband eats fruity pebbles out of their glory hole, why are you making fun of them for that? Especially if that's what your friend and her husband enjoy doing. Why is that your business? And why are you trying to make fun of her for that? You're doing that because you're hurting and you're unhappy. That's not how a happy person behaves. If you are happy in your marriage, you are not trying to embarrass somebody for something that they did with their husband that they enjoyed or thought was funny. So Whitney is really, really projecting, and she is so deeply unhappy to me, I think, and it just comes out in her doing shit like that. Next, we have number two. Whitney goes out to a family dinner to break some news to her family that she is pregnant. So the way that she informs her family that she's pregnant is by peeing on a pregnancy test, taking that very same pregnancy test stick and having it baked into a cake that her mother cuts into that the family is supposed to eat. So she has her urine, her residual urine baked into a cake. Now, there are several ways to inform your family that you're pregnant. One of those is maybe take that same test, put it in a box, and have somebody lift open the lid of the box and see that you're pregnant. And guess what? Your family is not eating that box. Therefore, there is no possible sanitation or sanitary issues. So Whitney's sister was not amused. She was like, "We're supposed to eat this. You peed on it, the same one you peed on." She was saying everything that us viewers were thinking. And again, Whitney's decision making is alarming. I don't think it was the worst thing to do, but it's odd. And it's really odd that she just, like, hello, that's disgusting. That she wouldn't think about how disgusting that is. And logistically, how the fuck did they even bake that shit in the cake? Anyway, so I put that at number two, Winnie putting a fucking pregnancy stick in a cake that her family is supposed to eat, ruining the goddamn cake. And then at number one, we have Zach mentioning that he is looking forward to gambling in Vegas. And Jen saying that because he hasn't gambled in 6 months, she is going to give him $2,500 to gamble with in Vegas. Jen also admits that she's having a rough time with her husband, Zach, and she feels like he hasn't been very supportive, while she is the one who is working and making money and taking care of their two young children. So I will get into Zach in a separate episode, but because everybody is worked up over this man. And so I will save that for another episode. But those were the top 10 most shocking moments of season one of The Secret Lives of Mormon Wives. I enjoyed the show. However, I do think it's gonna get extremely fake and sensationalized because that's what happens on all these shows. Like, these shows, the first season of any reality show is always going to be the most authentic because the cast members do not know if their show will be successful. And then as soon as it's successful, you get the network trying to do the most. You get the cast members trying to do the most and be fake and present themselves a certain way. And it's going to get, I think, very stupid and very bad very quickly. Like, let's just be real. But it doesn't mean I'm not going to tune in. And I'm bothered by a lot of what I see, fascinated by a lot of what I see. I'm going to get into that more on my episode that I will be doing about the scandals on the show. And I definitely didn't get into all of them, but I will do an episode about the top three scandals, in my opinion, on the show season one. All right, y'all, talk to you soon.